Welcome back, guys. DGS on Camo X. Going to talk to our buddy Tom Ackerman. Hey, Tom.
What's up, Dave?
Good to talk to you, my friend. We're going to obviously talk Cardinals, but I wanted to start out with an overall sports story. This just came out, so you may not have seen it. A peer-reviewed study, and don't ask me where because I don't read articles. I just look at the headlines and then add to them. But they're saying that the number one characteristic that you should have to be a successful athlete is malevolence. That ruthlessness and self-centeredness is what most elite athletes have. Now, it's more the solo people, swimmers and runners and such, but even on team sports, and I don't know about you guys, Tommy, you and I have watched a couple of lacrosse games together, our girls playing. I've always said that you get to a certain level, and I don't care how aggressive you are, you have to have talent, but before that, it's about aggression. Like when you're watching little kids play soccer, it's the aggressive ones, it's the jerks, and the bullies are going to score. How does that hit you just overall, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about success in terms of stats and acquiring medals and awards and winning championships is another thing. I mean, I think there's two things. There's a lot of things when it comes to success. Success is kind of what you determine it to be. So if success is making it through a season healthy and being able to spend time with your teammates and being able to advance yourself and be a better athlete, then that's how you define success. Others would define it as, well, how many goals did I score this season? And how many times did I get the ball? Or how many times how many minutes did I play? And then others would describe it as how many championships did we win? So it kind of depends on how you define it, whatever you think the best athlete is. I know that who I consider to be the greatest athlete in the history of team sports, Michael Jordan, was an absolute killer. I mean, Jordan was notoriously tough, not only on other people, but on himself. He would conjure up these stories in his head that somebody was out to get him or somebody talked bad about him, even if it didn't happen. This all came out in the Netflix series that was out during the pandemic about the Chicago Bulls, that Jordan would make up these things almost and then go drop 50 on somebody. Mm. He was ruthless. He was a killer. And so from that standpoint, I could see that. I know that in youth sports, you know, I coach a seventh grade girls, soon to be eighth grade girls basketball team. We're all about team. We're all about each other. But yeah, I've got a few players that are considered to be our best players who will use a relentless kind of aggressive style just to get through the game, to power through it, because it is a difficult game to play. And if you're not putting your foot on the gas pedal, sometimes you can get past, and that's how they make it through.
Kev, what you're saying, I mean, like the way you put it, Dave, it's the generality of it is 100% correct. I think there are exceptions. There are people that are not that way that are amongst the greats of all time, but I think they are the exception. Whether it's Tom Brady or Michael Jordan, right? Like you think of people that got to that level, they all have what you're talking about. They all have that meanness to them. You have to kind of have it at some level too. Like, you know, what Tom and I are coaching with younger players, you don't have to have that to play junior high level or high school level and to be good and all that. But to be the greatest of all time, you kind of have to be a jerk in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, like Albert Pujols, for example, is the greatest hitter that I've ever seen. And Pujols, who I really get along with, and I would consider him a friend. I mean, we've been together. I was there when he first started, and I appreciate him very much. But I also knew when to not approach him. I mean, there were times before the game where you do not talk to Albert. I mean, you just stay away. You got to let him go through his routine. He wouldn't look people in the eye, you know, and he would go and do his thing. Now, after the game, you know, if he was ready to engage you, he'd be wonderful. And he and I, again, developed a relationship from when I covered him at the tail end of his minor league career. But I saw it. You know, I saw a guy who every time Yadier Molina would belong in this category.
Yadier's
every
too,
time
yeah.
that he stepped into that clubhouse, it was business. And you knew that when he walked through the door, it was time to go. And some people just carry that. And that all becomes between the ears. I thought, Dave, that you were going to say that something about mental, you know, fortitude or capacity or something like that. But yeah, this goes along with it. Sports, we've heard it since we were kids. that it's, you know, 5% physical, 95% mental or whatever. It's absolutely true. I've seen very talented athletes waste away their careers because they were not laser focused on the task at hand. And some might consider that to be standoffish or aggressive. Others would say that's what you have to do to survive.
Question about the Cardinals. So over the weekend, I, of course, watched the Cardinals. Now I'm getting really into baseball. I got the MLB app. I'm watching all the games. And I was watching the Yankees and the Dodgers, two of the best teams in baseball, storied franchises like the Cardinals. But, like, I'm watching, and they've got Aaron Judge, and you got Ohtani, you got all these guys. They are just monsters, behemoths, powerhouses. When is the last time the Cardinals were feared? Not when we won the series, because, you know, I know when that was. When's the last time that we just struck fear into the hearts of opponents?
2011, when the Cardinals had Albert Pujols and they went on their run and they entered the postseason in October, and they were considered to be, with Tony La Russa as manager, now a team that you would have to deal with. And they had the pitching, they had the hitting, they had everything. They had Chris Carpenter. I mean, you talk about another guy who used aggression to get himself into position. Now, I will say this, on top of all that, and the Cardinals went to the World Series in 13, very good team. I wouldn't say that they were feared like when they had Albert, but still a very good team. 15, they won 100 games, for goodness sakes. They kind of did it with duct tape, you know, and that somehow they made it to 100. I don't know how they pulled it off, and then they got beat early in the postseason. And they haven't been at that level since then. But I will say, you know, the Yankees have not been to the World Series since 2009. I mean, that's much longer than the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers have won one World Championship, and I would call it a half championship, in the pandemic year, since they won their one previously in 1988.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, so... You know, the Yankees and Dodgers, as much as people hype that series, and I get it, between the two of them, it's not like they've been walking away with trophies either. So, you know, it is a difficult sport to walk away a champion, because we just saw the Diamondbacks almost do it, and they hardly had a season. We saw the Braves win it all, and they hardly had a regular season. So, yes and no. Like, I admire the fact that these teams can do what they do and put together all-stars, but it doesn't always work.
Yeah, I know that winning championships is what it's about, right? Like, that's the goal. But I think that overall in sports, fan bases overly obsess over that, because the playoffs in every sport are random. All it takes is one day going against you and you're done. Like, that's true in the NFL. It's true in every sport. I know it's a series in the other sports, but any one day could be the difference between advancing and not. What I think is a fair thing for Cardinals fans to wish for is to get back to being the class of the division. Because for a long time, everybody else, every other fan base in the division hated the Cardinals because they found a way to be better than them every single year. And that was a long 20-year run. I don't think you can expect a 20-year run, Tom. You know, that kind of thing is unprecedented. But I think that might be the more reasonable thing to hope for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. You know, the Yankees have had Gerrit Cole, and many people would consider him to be the best pitcher in the game. The Dodgers now have Ohtani. Many would consider him to be the best in the game. I think you have to have one or two of the best at what they do to be considered to be an elite team. It's not every day that a guy gets drafted in the 13th round like Pujols was in 99 and then becomes the best player in the game. But the Cardinals will have to find that next guy, or they're going to have to go pay for that next guy. They thought they had it in Arenado and Goldschmidt, but it just hasn't worked out. I think that is the next thing. And by the way, if they want to continue to fill the stadium, which is absolutely their goal, is to sell tickets, fill the stadium. It's a huge part of their revenue, because they don't have the TV revenue that some of the other markets have. They're going to have superstars. You know, who is the next guy on the Cardinals that kids are going to want to buy his jersey and rally around and be like? And personally, I think that guy's Mason Winn. But it's going to take a little time for number zero to be in everybody's team store and for everybody to start latching on to that type of a player. He's going to have to go to multiple all-star games and all that to be one of those stars. Jordan Walker could end up being one of those guys. Gorman could end up being one of those guys, but they don't know that yet. I think that's the next big step for the Cardinals, and that was really, Dave, what you were pointing to, is how do the Cardinals build that thing back? It is not a snap of the fingers, but they do have some pieces that could become that. I think they're still searching for the next face of the franchise is always kind of what you want, I think, when you're the Cardinals. Yeah. They've had those guys in Ozzy. They had the guys in Pujols. They've had some big ones.
So let's take it from there and talk about Mason Wynn. I very much want this Mason Wynn to be the Mason Wynn, and I feel like he's done this long enough now that we can say he didn't just catch a flyer. He's at least a capable of being a very good offensive player.
He's a super athlete. I mean, he has so much great quickness, but awareness and body control in both in the field and at the plate. I mean, I love the way he sprays line drives.
Me
it's
too.
Just the sign of a great hitter. It really is. And we all know what he can do defensively, even if he makes an error every once in a while. They're all making errors right now. They'll get over it. He makes the routine plays look awesome, and he makes spectacular plays look routine. I mean, I just love watching him play, and I think that he's wise beyond his years. He's very young. He's 22 years old, but he's got this understanding of the game and kind of his place in it. All you need to know is that his favorite player of all time is Ozzie Smith. He's not old enough to have seen Ozzie, but he knows Ozzie's place in history. He knows what Ozzie means to him personally, and he selected number zero so he could be as close to Ozzie's number one as possible. I mean, he wants to emulate what Ozzie meant to the game, but also as a star, that's what he wants to be. And I think that it's a great thing to aspire to. Does he have that aggression that you're talking about? Absolutely. Mason is a super nice guy. I mean, a wonderful guy who you could talk to for an hour. He's a great guy. But he also, if you ever listen really closely, when he pops up in a big moment, listen closely to the mic right behind home plate. He says some things you wouldn't rather air on radio or TV.
Yeah, I caught one this weekend.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's got that killer instinct inside of him that I really love.
Speaking of, you guys excited to watch Skeens tomorrow?
I think Skeens, I know Wheels has been watching him for a while. I'm very excited to see Skeens. I watched his debut. I watched him the last few starts also. I'm planning on being there in person to see him. I want to see what he's all about.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that your average fastball is 99.5 miles an hour. He's regularly 101, 102, and his fastball is not his best pitch. he throws a splinker, so it's a split sinker, so it's a split finger grip, but it runs like a sinker. That is his best pitch, and teams are hitting like 061 against it. So, I mean, like, just when you think you can deal with the 102 at the top of the zone, here comes the splinker. Good luck. It's going to be tough. And the Cardinals still struggle with velo. That's been a problem all year, so going to be fascinating.
All right.
I totally agree.
All right. Thank you, Tommy. Appreciate it.
Gentlemen, thank you.
Wheeler, I feel like you're going to go crazy on this one. A kid in Orlando missed his kindergarten graduation last month because his family had to fly off to a wedding. But his parents brought his cap and gown along, and the flight attendants on Frontier threw him a graduation ceremony on the plane. He walked up and down the aisle. Everyone was cheering. I feel like you hate kindergarten graduations.
Oh, my God. What a little nerd.
Do you think the kid really cares?
Probably, but I don't know that we should care enough to do that.
It's kindergarten.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally, I know it's generational because, like, when we were kids, we didn't do a kindergarten graduation. You just went to first grade. It's like the first year. It's not the last year of anything. It's the first year. You're actually starting the process.
You just graduated from being a baby.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And I don't, if you want to just have an excuse to have a party for your kids and do all that, fine, whatever. But it's not that big of a deal. It just isn't. But we got to make everything a big deal, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything is a bigger deal than it needs to be.
Evidently, my TikTok has figured out that I'm 55 plus, and I'm getting these reviews of 55 and up living places.
Oh,
you know, like
neighborhoods and stuff.
Yeah, the villages, that kind of thing. And it was really interesting. There was this one woman who's like, here are the five things I love, here are the five things I don't love. And her top thing she doesn't love, she goes, you are 100% back to high school. There are cliques. There are bullies. There are mean girls, except now they're 63.
Yeah.
And she's like, pickleball. Pickleball is the scourge of the world because all these people who were very competitive in their business life, and now they've retired and they have some money and they have nothing to compete, and they all go play pickleball and it's just blood on the courts. That was really interesting that you go right back to being in high school.
Yeah.
cool guys, not cool guys, nerds, losers.
This is kind of when you talk about the six, like your mom's gang.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I picture. I picture them like walking down the halls, like dumping people's books and stuff.
My mom's the oldest one there, but she's definitely the mean girl.
Yeah. I will not be participating in any of those things if and when I ever live in one of those communities.
Yeah.
I will not be.
You don't seem like a joiner.
No, like I mean, like
Kevin thinks he'd be cool.
I'm sure I'll have friends, but I'm not doing any of that. I'm not doing any of the hey, let's go play competitive pickleball. You guys go do that. I'm gonna play video games. I'm gonna chill. I did my competitive stuff earlier.
Yeah,
there's nothing worse than the overly competitive grown people.
Famously non-competitive, Kevin Wheeler.
No, I'm very much so, but I know like there's a time for it and there's not a time for it.
You have your confidence about that.
Yeah.
You don't need to prove anything to
that's
some
right.
68-year-old man.
That's right. Especially by then, and even now, I'm whatever. What am I now? 52. The good days are gone. I'm not that guy anymore.
Good days.
I'm not
are
that
gone.
Guy. No, like athletically, I am not that guy anymore. There's no need to try and pretend that I'm that guy anymore.
Only clouds on the horizon.
Yeah,
happiness is gone.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
34 DGS on KMOX. Greg Damon gave me a loaner car from Sparks. He's working on my Jeep right now. And my radio doesn't work in my Jeep. And I just have never fixed it. I should have told him when I was on the phone with him to fix the damn radio. But I was able to tune it into 98.7, came in clear as a bell. So if you're listening to 1120 AM and you like the bigger, beefier sound of the FM signal, go to 98.7. If you like a pristine, perfect digital signal, you can stream us, you can download the podcast, and you can listen on the Odyssey app. Simply download it from your phone, and you can have it in your car and at home, and it sounds absolutely perfect. Thanks to everyone, by the way, who downloads the podcast. We get literally millions of downloads every year, and we don't make a big deal of it, and we don't push it real hard, but you guys have found the show through the podcast and people all over the country, and we really, really appreciate that. We will be putting out a new podcast. I don't want to give you all the particulars because we don't have them yet, because I haven't made them up yet, but we'll be doing that definitely in the next month, probably in the next 2 weeks. Let me go to Colorado with my daughter, and when I get back, we'll get that going for you. I also have one coming up on mental health that I think you're going to enjoy and get a lot out of. So Wheeler was gone for another like 3-4 weeks, I think, and we missed him, and he missed talking, and so let me throw another topic at you. Caitlin Clark, go.
Oh my God. Listen, Rachel, just have the finger near the dump button.
Okay.
Because this whole topic is pissing me off. I am so sick of the stupidity. And this has nothing to do with Caitlin Clark. I actually feel bad for her because she's being used by so many people.
She's a small part of it.
Yeah.
Ironically.
She's being used by so many people for their own reasons, right? So she's not going to be on the Olympic team as of right now. She could be added as an injury replacement at some point, but she's not going to be on the U.S. Women's Olympic team. And people are like, well, how can Caitlin Clark not be there? She's so good for the sport. Look at the attention. First of all, it's the Olympics. It's not the marketing Olympics. The Olympics are for men's and women's basketball for the 12 best players in your country. They are for the 12 best players. And I thought it was great. Rebecca Lobo, who is a legend in her own right, explained it very well on ESPN this morning. For anybody that doesn't want to hear it from me, listen to Rebecca Lobo. You can find it on Twitter. It's very easy to find. But this process has been going on since 2001 and 2002. These players have been going to various training camps, practices, tournaments, playing together. This selection process takes years. Caitlin Clark was not a part of any of it because she was in college. So why should she be gifted a spot? Because it's good for marketing the WNBA? That's not what Team USA is about. That's not what the Olympics are about. Yes, the Olympics are about overall the generation of revenue, right? The Olympics generate $7 billion every time they hold one. TV rights deals, hotel stays, tickets, you name all of the things. So what difference do you think one athlete makes in a $7.5 billion endeavor? Do you really think that it changes that much? Because it doesn't. If NBC, for example, gets much bigger ratings for the handful of women's basketball games that they're going to show in their entirety, do you really think that makes a massive difference in the overall impact they have from spending on Olympic rights fees?
Do you think that quality of player, she should be on the roster?
The debate is it should be about that. And the answer is we don't know. She's a rookie. The people we're talking about, a lot of these women have been in the league for years. The question we should be asking is this. Is she one of the four or five best guards in the United States of America? If the answer is maybe or no, then she shouldn't be there. The second leading scorer in the WNBA got left off, and she's a veteran. Why are we making a big deal about a rookie who's been up and down? And I'll tell you why. Because she's popular. Because she's content. And this is why Stephen A. Smith and Dave Portnoy and all of these other media bros that never cared about women's basketball before care about this Caitlin Clark story is because it's content for them. If she's not there, she won't be a topic that they can talk about during that time. And that's what they're really upset about. They won't say it that way. They'll be like, oh, women's basketball is so stupid. They're missing out. No, they're mad because they're going to miss out. And because people, as I mentioned last week, have taken this and turned it into a Rorschach test. People are using this to prove their political view of the world is right. You know, she's being left out because she's white and she's straight. No, she's a rookie. She's a rookie. When you put together the best team in the world, which is what the U.S. women's basketball team is, it is the best team in the world. It should be the 12 players that earned those spots. Period, the end. You don't get something gifted to you because you're popular. And I think Caitlin Clark is an amazing player. She will be on the Olympic team in 4 years for sure. She will probably be on it in 8 years and maybe even in 12 years. She could be on the next three Olympic teams. She has not earned that spot yet. That's it. It's that simple. You know, when people are going around trying to make...
Andrew, counterpoint?
I think she's great, Kevin.
She is.
You should be a little nicer to her.
And this all
and I think Stephen A. Smith is great, too. Don't be mean to him.
This all sucks for her. I hate this for her. Because she's just a great player trying to be great. And I know she wants to be there. And there's an argument that she could prove someday that she should have been there. But why do we need to... Since when do all of these people care so much about marketing the WNBA?
Well, that's the interesting... I'm really interested in you saying, like, the Stephen A. Smiths and the Dave Portnoys are looking for content. So are you saying, like, oh, that's the only way I, as a talking head, can get a foothold into the conversation because I'm interested in Caitlin Clark. So if she's not there, I'm just not even going to pay attention.
That's basically what we're hearing from them.
Gotcha.
And we'll know, right? We'll see. If she doesn't go... Do these outlets that are so big mad about the missed opportunity, do they even talk about it? And I'll bet you they don't. I'll bet you that it's barely a mention because it's not sexy enough. And by that, I mean it's not exciting enough. I'm not talking about it because Caitlin Clark is a woman. And the sheer ridiculousness, we wouldn't be having this conversation with the men. We wouldn't be. We don't look at this and say, well, if the best college basketball player isn't on the Olympic team, it's an aside. No one player is greater than a league. Can she open eyes? Absolutely. She has, and she's bringing more and more. She's not retiring. She's not going away. She's still going to be there. You know, like, I forget which team they played, but they just had to move from their normal stadium to a bigger stadium to accommodate the ticket demand for the game when Caitlin Clark comes to town with the Indiana Fever. That's real. That's a big deal. Whether or not she plays for the U.S. Olympic team, the interest in her is not going to change.
While you're all jacked up, you want to complain about hotels?
Yeah. So last time when I came back from the vacation trip, I complained about like how ridiculous the pricing is at these convenience stores, quote-unquote convenience stores inside the hotel. We're here to make your stay more pleasurable by charging you $6 for a Coke. But like, I stayed I stayed at a nice place. So I spent Wednesday through Saturday at a nice hotel in the Indianapolis area. It's north. If you know Carmel, Indiana, it's a really nice area. Chesterfield-ish, really, really nice area. Good restaurants and all that. And we're staying at the hotel is attached to a really nice mall. It's a high-end mall. You know, it's like Frontenac. It's kind of like in that vein, right? And they want to charge you for your parking to stay at this hotel, to park in the garage or to park in their select spots. Why are we in a suburban area charging to park at a hotel that is located on a shopping mall footprint with literally thousands of spots everywhere? What are we? Why? And why do we? Why are we okay? I mean, you don't have to. You don't have to pay for it. But like, as soon as you come in, oh well, if you want to park in our spots, it's $18 a day. Well, why? I can park. If I can park 8 feet away in another spot that doesn't say hotel parking, why are we doing this? And why do people pay that? I don't understand. Like, I get it in a downtown area. When you stay at a hotel in a city, parking can be scarce. And everybody is charging for parking around the ballpark or whatever. That's different. It's just a mall in suburbia. There is no shortage of parking. It is everywhere. Why are we charging for it? And then I also want to talk about the second side, like the competence of people. So I coach in a program. The program pays for the rooms that we stay in. They call in advance. They book the room. They put a card on file that's supposed to pay for the room. And every time I get to these places, they're like, okay, give us your credit card. I'm like, okay, but there should be a card on file. Oh, we don't know how to do that. I mean, you don't know how to do that. They literally just, like, when I did this, I checked in Wednesday. The director of our program had talked to this hotel 5 minutes before I walked into the lobby. And they had no idea what I was talking about. They looked at me like I was an alien. I'm like, yes, there should be a card on file. Like, oh, well, yes, he's talking to Amanda. Oh, well, we have to call Amanda because Amanda's upstairs and she's in the, like, you don't ever do this? Why is this hard? It drives me nuts. I'm sorry. I apologize.
I'm just watching all this happen. And, like,
and I'm trying to be nice to these people while they're talking to me. And I'm thinking the whole time, you are stupid. You don't understand how to do the job that is right there in front of you.
You guys will get this more than anyone. But like, I am known for creating characters or revealing characters.
Yeah, more revealing.
I'm a kingmaker. It's like, oh, you're this guy. You're that guy. Mm-hmm. And you're the guy that nothing flusters you and nothing bothers
except
you.
Except these things.
But boy, when it does.
Yeah.
It really gets to
That's
you.
What I tell people. Like, I'm like, chill, I'm calm, but when I go, I go.
Yeah.
Like, when it's, yeah. When
do you let them have it?
I try not to.
Did Amanda hear from you?
No, Amanda did not, but the people, there were three people at the desk at the same time, and none of them knew what I, like, oh, what? And they're, like, clicking away. I'm like, guys, he just talked to her. He literally just talked to her 5 minutes ago. How is this not a thing you know how to do?
And why is your parking so expensive?
Well, I mean, like,
and don't get me started on Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, please don't. Oh, it's not Caitlin Clark. I'm a fan of her. It's everybody else that needs to shut up.
251 DGS on KMOX. It's going to be hot as hell while I'm gone.
That's what I'm hearing.
Sucks. I mean, just because my air's sketchy. I feel like I'm just waiting for things to break in my life. You know, it's like you get to that point with your house, with your body, with your car. Just like, okay. How much longer can this thing hold out?
What's it going to be like where you are?
Oh, my gosh. Low in the 30s, highs in the mid-60s.
Really? Low in the 30s?
Yeah. Well, remember, we're at 10,000 feet.
Oh, okay.
11,000 feet. Yeah. So, yeah, Denver will be hot like here, but when you're 10, 11,000 feet up, it's pretty cool. No pun.
Both, right? Both
so,
ways.
Rach, you want a ping pong table?
I think we should get a ping pong table for the office.
I don't think you want that.
I think it would be good for us. I think it would be a great team-building exercise.
No.
What's your problem?
I'm very good at ping-pong, and I'm incredibly competitive, and I would ruin it for everyone.
Well, maybe...
Let me take that back. I used to think I was very good at ping-pong. I'm not sure I'm very good at ping-pong, but like in college, I thought I was very good at ping-pong.
I consider myself very good at ping-pong, which means that I'm probably not.
Does everybody think they're good at ping-pong? On a daily basis?
Yeah, but see, at least then we could all prove it.
Yeah.
Does anyone think they're bad at it? I don't know anyone who thinks they're bad at it. Everyone thinks they're great at it, and then...
And it's all point. About it is all about who you play.
It's, yeah. it's true.
Because mm-hmm. when you're playing, you know, people that are like you, you can think you're good.
Yeah. And once you learn to put spin on the ball, you're yeah. just like, no one can ever beat me again.
Oh, you ever do the stop shot?
I would counterpoint.
I guess I'm not that good.
I would counterpoint the ping pong with you can get an air hockey table.
I do like air hockey too.
For like $60.
I have one in my house. I can just bring
Kevin's
it here.
Kevin's got an air hockey table in his house because of course he does.
Where are we putting all this?
Probably in Andrew and Wheels' office.
There's a lot of empty space in there.
Get rid of that table. And we can put a cover over it. It can be our new lunch table.
There you go.
There's a whole half of that room that nobody even uses. The half that's like where the fridge is, no one even goes over there.
I like the shuffleboard with like the...
You're talking about the foosball.
No.
No, the salt.
No?
You want the salt on the shuffleboard.
Yes.
There's one upstairs.
I know. Let's steal it.
Okay.
Or we could just go up there.
That's hard. I'm saying we need something in the office.
Let's commit a felony together. Then we got each other by the short hair.
That's team building.
That's how you build trust.
Oh, Andrew would dime us out on day one.
What? No.
You'd brag about. You'd be like the guy on that they had to whack on Goodfellas. You're buying your wife mink coats and everything.
He's living too loud.
I'm taking all the salt home and bragging.
What did we
about
tell
it?
You about their shuffleboard?
Wait, there's salt?
Yeah, it's like I think it's salt or
like
some kind
sawdusty kind of stuff.
Yeah, some kind of. It's so that the thing doesn't just slide crazy. It's so that you can stop it where you want it.
Oh.
Yeah.
But just picture this, a Odyssey-wide ping pong tournament.
Yeah.
Who
I mean,
wins?
That would be a fun couple of days.
Who you got money on?
Well, we don't know who's great out there.
Right.
No,
but we're just going by impressions.
That's one of those secret talents.
My money would be on Ronge.
Okay.
He was a tennis player.
Well, yeah, that would help.
Not that they're exact replicas of each other, but
my money's on Dave because I know that Dave plays to win.
Yeah. Super competitive. Yeah. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I either win or I'll throw my paddle at
and
you.
And just his initial reaction of like, no, we mustn't get a table.
It's
like,
awful.
Okay, he's serious.
No, it's awful. It's, yeah. Trust me, it's terrible.
I love ping pong for...
The best you could hope for is that I win. That's the best you could
you
hope for.
You ever do the pretend oops bad shot?
What do you mean?
Where you just smoke it right at the other person. Like, oh, sorry. He's trying to...
I don't even
pretend. The point. I used to do that. Like right in the
forehead.
Sorry,
I didn't mean to hit you in the face. The crunch of